tunnels to gates of white. Just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of a spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, and illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. In Catholic school, as vicious as Roman rule, I got my knuckles bruised by a lady in black, and I held my tongue as she told me, son, fear is the heart of love. So I never went back. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. You and me have seen everything to see, from Bangkok to Calgary, and the soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now, but it's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, and illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. And I'll follow you into the dark. We'll be right back.
Johnny Foodmasters or cruising the parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked piss up.
to the Dweezil Show. I had to play my own band. I'm sorry. That was Sandcastles. That was my act, Ease Into the Noise. And I just love it. So I just I hope you guys do too. All right. I have a very special guest in here. And with a very special album. And we'll be talking to her in just a few short minutes. So stick around, 91.5 WMFO.
Darling, I can't do time for you anymore. It looks like I'll be knocking down a prison.
91.5 WMFO. That is My Own Way. And we have Ms. Lauren Flaherty here.
Hello.
This is like the second surprise-ish appearance here.
Yes.
I mean, the last time you were here, you just dropped Redline Blues, like 2 days before, and I just said, hey, why not? You did a Beyonce then, why not do that?
Why not?
So, but this time out, because, you know, we have a history with that nice little song called 3 a.m., and
3 a.m.
But I figured I would kick it off with this song, because you did release this a couple years ago, and this is part of a very special album for you. So I figured I would keep it a little more serious, and especially since, you know, the song 3 a.m. is now ridiculously outdated. You would have to change it to, like, Conan O'Brien or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yes, the album is called Let the World Stop. And it's a very special album. I was listening to it last night. And, that's when I decided to invite you, just spur the moment.
And I'm happy to be here.
Yes. But this one's very, how could one put this?
I think it's meaty.
Okay.
It's more substantial.
I mean, there's some serious stuff going on back there, and I don't know how to just. I don't know whether to jump right into it or say, all right, so the day after Redline Blues came out, where do we go from there? You know? But, oh. Yeah, when I was reading the backstory of it, I had no idea, because, I mean, you're relatively straightforward on social media and stuff, so. And you kept mum. Mm-hmm. pretty well on this. So for those non-initiated and those who did not contribute to the Indiegogo, tell the uninformed stranger on what Let the World Stop is about.
So this is a different type of record. It's a concept record, and it, for better or worse, was inspired by a really difficult time that I went through in my life. So, obviously, I'm a singer. Hmm. Singers really value their voice. And last March, actually, March 24th, 1 year to the day of when I put out the record this year, I found out that I had thyroid cancer, which was completely unexpected. And the thyroid actually overlaps with the vocal cords. So there is no way to have an operation on your thyroid without also having an operation on your vocal cords. As a singer, you want to avoid sharp edges going near your vocal cords. So basically, the cure for the cancer and the cancer itself both risked my favorite thing in the world.
Okay.
My diagnosis to my surgery was very fast. It was about 30 days because I decided that I wanted to move ahead and have the surgery, which, thank God, I found some really excellent doctors to work with. And I have a completely full bill of health. I can sing everything I could sing before.
Excellent.
And if I can't sing it now, it's because I couldn't sing it before.
Right. Ah,
so that's
okay.
A separate issue. But I can usually sing it. You can't go through something like that and not have it affect you. So I actually made a deeper record than I was planning to make. And I divided it into three acts: life, death, and rebirth. So the first act is kind of me running around, doing my normal thing, saying, I'm going to audition for this. I'm going to go for that.
Hmm.
And the second act, which is death, is when I found out I was sick. And, you know, you just want to go home. You just want to recuperate. And it's sort of like the reincarnation system where you have to die before you're reborn. So you hit bottom and then you come back up. And then the third act is rebirth, which is coming back in and maybe feeling a little slower on your feet or looking at things with a different eye, but still wanting to make a difference, perhaps more than ever. So the album reflects that. We've got some up-tempo rock songs at the top. The middle is more vulnerable ballads. And then at the end, I bring out the big rockers, because why not?
No, the why not? Of course.
Why not?
Well, let's kind of break this down a little. We'll play a couple of tracks from each side, if you will. Okay. And let's pick a track from the first act. And what can you tell us about Crazy Beautiful Love?
So Crazy Beautiful Love is just a in the moment song. It's just a song of passion, a song of freedom, a song of finding someone and, you know, wanting to elope with them, wanting to just, you know, drive a car too fast with them and run away from everything, and just feeling freedom and bold and very, very strong and in your prime.
All right. I can't think of anything to add to that one. Let's just hit up Crazy Beautiful Love. 91.5 WMFO.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey!
91.5 WMFO. That's the second act. Yes. Want to talk about that one? I mean, that was on Red Line Blues too, but...
I brought that one back. I thought that it fit the record, and the second act, ironically, is on the first act.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that?
I really thought about retitling it, and then I said, oh, in the digital age, I just won't get away with it. But the reason I decided to leave it in there was because it shows the character who the album is about, which is really me.
Right, right.
Expecting something specific from life, having kind of this narrative of, hey, big bad music business wolf, you tried to mess with me and let me show you how tough I am, and I'm on the upswing and I'm going. You know what? In 6 months, my life is going to be like, bam. And then it's like, no, life is going to smack you in the face, and that's the bam. So I kind of put that in there to show the character, which again is me, getting clobbered. But I can laugh about it now, so it's okay.
There are a couple of songs that were on Redline Blues. Was this record supposed to be an extension of that, at least initially?
I had always planned on Redline Blues kind of going into something else and picking little pieces of it into a bigger work. Before I got sick, I really just thought I would make another 10-song record, mm-hmm. and you know that would kind of be it. You know, you would try to just like, okay, 3 up tempo, 3 down tempo, something in the middle. Here we go. Mm. And then as I started to realize that there was more of a story that I wanted to tell, I started to think about what feels like a chapter in the story. And so those are the ones that I picked to bring back.
Ah. Well, all right. So I got to ask, and this is kind of a more medical thing. Like, what was it that made you, like, go to the doctor? For something like that, I mean, is there just, like, some sort of physical feeling?
There was nothing. I was
curious about that because, I mean, thyroid cancer is not something that is very apparent.
No.
And, yeah.
I don't want to freak out anybody
listening.
Right,
right.
My scenario was in February, I got food poisoning from a health food store, of all things.
I remember you posting about
that. Very upset. I was tremendously upset. Because I had also thought that I got sick from that health food store several years beforehand. So then I was very upset with myself because I ate there again.
Yes, note to self, just go to Taco Bell.
I know. And the worst thing is it was from fruit. And so I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be extra healthy today. No, you're not. But anyways, so I got, let's say, the norovirus. It's very unpleasant, but it's supposed to pass, you know, within a little while. And weeks went by and I just wasn't getting better and I was feeling, you know, crappy. Mm. I was at a different grocery store. That was not the Whole Foods one. It was not the health store. And I
Let's
noticed...
Let's just call it Bread and Crunchy.
Yeah, I was there. And I noticed, like, geez, I kind of feel like I'm going to pass out. I don't think that's a normal shopping experience. So I ended up going to the doctor. I went a couple of times. And long story short, they started to kind of say, like, geez, you know, the thyroid, which, you know, is in your neck, seems a little big, but maybe just have a big thyroid. And then they started going through different levels of exams. Mm. And I wasn't really expecting them to come back with anything. I think it's one of those things about when you've lived in Boston your whole life, all the hospitals are so good. They're kind of just always checking you for everything.
Right. Well, if anything, you know, to get as much money out of you as possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just me being cynical.
And I mean, you're definitely right to some, you know, they do that sometimes, but they're just very thorough. So you just.
Right. They are very thorough. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'll cost you, but you're finding out everything.
Yeah. You'll find out things you don't need to know. Like in 50 years, you might worry about this. You're like, okay, well, 50 years from now, not going to worry about it. Yeah. So I wasn't really thinking anything of it. So then when they came back with, it's positive and, you know, you need to make a decision pretty quickly, I was like, I was shocked. But, I mean, I would say, you know, I woke up the very next morning and I had wondered, geez, how am I going to feel when I wake up tomorrow? And I woke up the very next morning. I said, all right, I want to fight this. I want to get this over with. I want to get back to my real life. And I want to do it as close to instantly as possible. And I was able to do that. And here I am now.
Excellent. Well, all right. So in that event, what made you, like, even after the diagnosis, what made you, like, go to your guitar and write some of these songs? Because I'm assuming, because we're heading into Act Two here, I'm only assuming that these ones were written after the diagnosis.
Most of them were written after the diagnosis. Some of them were kind of sketched out beforehand, and okay. I noticed that the way that I would sing them just started to be about a whole different thing. I definitely felt more vulnerable afterwards. And the song, If Your Heart Ends, is important to me because when you go through something like that, you need to feel very strong. You need to feel very confident in your decisions, but you really need a team around you. And, you know, you need a medical team. You need a team of friends, a team of family, anybody, whoever it's going to be. And you start to realize that, you know, even though you're trying to be all tough, you really would crumble without certain people being in your life. And that's okay, because that's part of actually being alive and that's part of actually feeling what you're feeling. So that song, which had kind of flirted with a little bit of darkness, went there real fast. But I kind of like that anyway, so it's all right.
Okay. Well, all right. So in that case, let's hit up If Your Heart Ends. 91.5 WMFO.
First, I'd scare our neighbors, give away my shoes and clothes. What I'd do next, only God knows. Say to my friends, remember me back when I didn't need nobody, let my guard down to nobody. Never met anybody like you. Can see how crazy I'd be if you and me ceased to be. Goodbye to family and friends. My heart would stop if your heart ends. Goodbye, I'd go around the bend. My heart would stop if your heart ends. Next, I'd call my family and hope they could forgive. I couldn't be who I was before. That girl no longer lives. Somehow I found a love I used to have no need of. Can't live without it, nothing to do about it. So much bigger than my arms could ever reach. More fragile than the day breaks peace. Goodbye to family and friends. My heart would stop if your heart ends. Goodbye, I'd go around the bend. My heart would stop if your heart ends. My heart would stop.
crazy what a little love can do.
while you're